going here.
It says it's recording.
Okay.
Welcome to Lectionary Lunch. This week, our Old Testament lesson is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 11 and verse 16. This is a long text, but not a difficult one, so we're going to jump right in and move fairly quickly through it. Vayiki yashav hamelech bebeitho. We might translate this, and it was, being quite literal here, when the king sat in his house. So this first phrase, starting off, Vayiki, is a sort of standard kind of what we might call antecedent temporal clause. It sets the time frame for what is going to follow. So we might, in English, just translate, when the king sat in his house. Yahweh heniach lo misaviv mekol oivau. And Yahweh had given rest to him roundabout from all his enemies. We'd probably turn that around in English and say, from all his enemies roundabout, or from all the enemies that surrounded him, or something like that. Both of these are part of this antecedent temporal clause that set the context for what's about to be said, and the what's about to be said comes in the next verse, in verse 2. So picking up there, Vayomer Hamelech el Natan Hanavi. The king said to Nathan the prophet, or we might translate, then the king said to Nathan the prophet. Picking up the, so the wow here on the front of this Vayomer introduces what we might call the subsequent temporal clause, the what happened at the point introduced by the previous clause. The king spoke to Nathan. Re'eh na, here imperative with na, look here, he says, literally imperative look, but used here like we would often use that phrase, not literally look at something, but calling attention to the fact. Look here, anoki yoshev, pronoun with a participle, I am sitting, babeth urazim, usually translated in a house of cedars, some debate about what this tree is, the cedars of Lebanon, are probably not really the trees, at least the classic modern tree known as the cedar of Lebanon is a little too small for the kind of wood that would be needed for this. So perhaps some close relative of a larger type of cedar or pine tree. Aron Elohim Yoshev Betok Ha Yeria. I am sitting in a house of cedar, but, here, adversative, but the Ark of God is dwelling or sitting in the midst of a curtain, literally, a curtain. This word, yeria, means a curtain or a structure made of cloth that we'd probably translate tent. It's not the normal word for tent in Hebrew, but almost certainly that's the point here. This word, by the way, is used for the strips of cloth that are sewn together to make the curtain that divides the Holy of Holies from the external part of the tabernacle. So its choice here is probably connected to the fact that we are actually talking about the tabernacle. And usually those strips are the same word used in the plural rather than in the singular. Verse 3, Vayomer Natan el Hamelech, the Nathan said to the king, Kol asher b'levka leik asay, ki Yahweh imah. Nathan said to the king, all that is in your heart, all which is in your heart, go, imperative leik from Halak, asay, do. The textual variant says some texts have a wow here, but a wow is not necessary. The syntax is perfectly fine as it is. Go, do. We'd probably translate it as a hindiatus, go and do, or go on and do. And then the last clause is explanatory. Ki Yahweh imah. Because Yahweh is with you. Here is the standard explanatory use of the particle ki. So Nathan says, and blesses David's desire to build a house. And then the narrative continues. The next scene, as it were. Wahi balaila hahu. And again, an antecedent temporal clause. In this case, probably not wouldn't translate when, but something like on that night. Wahi davar Yahweh el Natan lemor. On that night, the word of Yahweh was to Nathan, here Hayah plus El, standard Hebrew idiom for to come, to be to something means to come to it. To, so we'd say the word of the Lord came to Nathan, and then Lemor, of course, discourse marker introducing direct quotation that follows. And so the, God speaks to Nathan that night, and he says, verse 5, Lequa amerta, imperative with a wow consecutive perfect, following two commands in effect, one following logically upon the other. Go and say, El Abdi El Dawid, to my servant, to David. Some texts omit the second L. That doesn't affect the meaning any, just in a positive. Koamar Yahweh, thus Yahweh said, has said. So now we get a quotation within a quotation here. And this one begins with a hey interrogative on the front of Ata. Is it the case that you, Tivne Li Bait, will build for me a house? Lishivti. Here, infinitive construct with a suffix on the end. For my dwelling, would probably translate, for me to dwell in. Something like that. So, thus says the Lord, are you going to build a house for me to dwell in? And this kind of question in Hebrew does not necessarily imply either a yes or a no as an answer. It doesn't sort of project an answer here. But in this case, the context, as we'll see as we go forward, clearly anticipates a no answer, or that we should expect a no answer. But that doesn't come from the grammatical form, it comes from the context. Verse 6. Kilo yashavti babayth La miyom ha'alothi ef ben Yisrael ma'mitzrayim. Again, key here introducing an explanatory clause. I have not dwelled in a house. And now this form, la miyom. The construction here is la miyom dot 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 to the ad, which really begins the next clause that we didn't read in Hebrew yet. And the point of this construction is to set out sort of two points in time and talk about what happens between them. So, in English, we'd probably just say, from the day of, and again, infinitive construct, the day of my bringing up, Hithiel of Allah, the day of my bringing up the sons of Israel, Mitzrayim, from Egypt. So that sets the first temporal marker. And then the second, with using an action, by the way, the infinitive construct, the concluding point is introduced by the ad, Wayad Hayom Hazet, unto today, or this day. So from the time I brought the sons of Israel out of Egypt until today, we'd say in English, Wa'ahya Mithalek Be'ohel B'mishkan. And then the wow again introduces the what's going to be said about that period of time between those two markers. So from that time to this day, I have been, wow consecutive, imperfect, so we'll translate it past tense and with a participle following it. I have been mithalek. The hith pile participle of halak means to stroll around, to go sort of an iterative idea, to walk back and forth or to stroll about. So I've been going about, but ohel u b'mishkan. Now this is what in Hebrew we call a hindiatus, in a tent and in a tabernacle. Doesn't mean two things. It means tabernacle here. Again, the word is probably chosen because we are talking about the Mishkan, the tabernacle. But here I think the word is used in its common noun sense, not in its technical sense, simply of a dwelling place, a dwelling tent. So it's a little play on words here. He's using these terms that have technical meanings, but not using them in their technical sense. He's playing on the technical sense. So the contrast is between the bais, the house, and the ohel mishkan, the tent dwelling that God has been dwelling in. So he hasn't dwelt in a house. He's been dwelling in a tent habitation, a tent dwelling. It's probably the best way to treat that hindiatus at the end. Okay. On to verse 7, word from God continues here. B'kol asher hith halakti, in every place, we have to supply the word place here, in every which, or you might say everywhere in English, everywhere I have strolled about or gone about, b'kol b'nei Yisrael, with all the sons of Israel. And now we get the question, davar diverti. Is it the case that a word I have spoken, or have I spoken a word, et echad shivtei Yisrael, with, and here this is et, the preposition meaning with, not et, the definite object marker. We've already had the object, davar, at the beginning. So, have I ever spoken a word with one, we'd probably say even one, of the, and here we have to talk about this word shivtei. This word means a staff or a rod. It's used in an extended sense to refer to the tribe, the staff or rod being a symbol of authority over a tribe, so it means tribe also. So we might, most English translations translate something like, with the tribes of Israel, but here it probably refers to the person who holds the staff, the leader of the tribe, here in this case. And so we might translate it literally, the staves of Israel, that is the staff holders of Israel. Interestingly, though, in the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, this word is substituted. The text is otherwise verbatim the same, but it says Shofethei, the judges of Israel, instead of the staves of Israel, or the people who hold the staff of Israel. Otherwise, the quotation is basically the same. And some English translations, the ESV, for example, substitutes judge here in this passage. The word judge does not occur in any of the ancient translations. It doesn't occur in the Septuagint, doesn't occur in the Vulgate, or in any of the other ancient versions that we have, nor in any Hebrew text. But it is substituted in some English text on the assumption that the Chronicles text makes more sense and that it simply became corrupt here. It's not even listed in the textual apparatus of BHS, but you'll notice some English translations will say judges of Israel instead of, some will say rulers or something like that, or tribes being a little more literal. Anyway, so a little departure here. What's clear from the rest of this is that we are talking about a person, not about the actual tribes, because the tribes, the word tribes, meaning the group of people, doesn't actually make a lot of sense with what follows. So, have I said anything to one of the, and I'm just going to translate, staves of Israel here, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Eth Yisrael, Israel, saying, Lama lo benithim li beit arazim. Why have you not built for me a house of cedar? So God says, have I ever said to any of the people I've appointed to be leaders over Israel, why didn't you build me a house of cedar? Again, here, the form of the question doesn't expect either a yes or a no answer, but the context clearly requires a no. By the way, the New King James translates tribes. The ESV translates judges in this case. The NIV splits the difference and translates rulers. And maybe the NIV actually has the idea here best of all, the people who are holding the staff, you know, the rulers. It's not a bad translation on the part of the NIV. Okay, verse 8. La'atah. And here, you know, we learned the first year Hebrew, you learn atah means now. But here's a case of atah not being used to mean now in the temporal sense, but being used in this rhetorical sense of introducing the conclusion of an argument, a point that's being made. So sometimes we call this a discourse marker, or we talk about the rhetorical use of atah. So better to translate something like so rather than now here. Ko tomer la'avdi la'David. So thus you should say, remember this is God talking to Nathan, thus you should say to my servant, to David, Ko amar Yahweh, thus has said the Lord, Yahweh Tzibaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, this title for God, representing God as commander of the heavenly host. And so what is he to say? Ani lakaktika min hanawe ma'acher hatzon. I have taken you, lakak, to take or draw. I have taken you from hanawe. This word nawe refers to the land of shepherd, the pasturage, the land on which one grazes sheep, but also refers to a kind of temporary dwelling that a shepherd sets up in the field. So for example, in Exodus chapter 15, in the poem there, the Song by the Sea, this word is used for God's habitation, his temporary dwelling. So it does sometimes mean a dwelling place, but even though its primary point of reference is the associated with shepherding. We had this word shepherd used in the previous verse, so the image continues here. I took, as well as being literal in this case, from applying to David, I took you from the pasturage, from after the flock, here kind of idiomatic language, from taking care of the flock, we'd probably translate, lich-yof nagid, to become or to be a nagid. This word nagid, sometimes translated prince. Here, the contrast is between the tribal leaders, the holders of the shevet, the staff in the previous verse, and a nagid, a little more broad leader. Now, the word nagid is actually used for anybody who exercises authority, but here, what follows, you see, he's Nagid al-Ami, al-Yisrael, Nagid over my people, over Israel. And again, here we might insert in parentheses, all Israel, to emphasize the contrast. He's not just a tribal leader. He's going to be the ruler, the guide, the shepherd, the prince over, by the way, this word is used also as a military term for military commander, but in any case, he exercises authority over all of Israel, not just over one particular tribe. And that's the point of contrast here. God has chosen him and made him the ruler of all of Israel. In verse 9, God continues speaking to David. And I have been with you in all where you have gone, every place you went. We might translate. Well, Akarata, and I cut off Ethkal Oiveka, all your enemies, Mifanecha, from before you. Wa'asithi, and now here we have a problem. Notice the change of tense here. We've had while consecutive imperfects. Wa'eyeh, at the beginning of the verse, and wa'karata in the middle, a few verses before, and now we have a while consecutive perfect. And the question is, really, in terms of Hebrew, do we change tense here? And is this talking about the future rather than the past, or not? But English translations, by the way, are split on this. The New King James continues to translate the past tense. I have made you a great name. Whereas the ESV translates, I will make you a great name. Now, I think the NSV has to be right here. Because as we'll see when we get to the next verse, by the time we get to the next verse, while we can debate it here, the context of the next verse makes it clear we're talking about the future. And it uses the same while consecutive perfect form. So I think we have to say the shift takes place here when the shift in form takes place, even though you could debate the context either way here. So I think we will translate this like the ESV translates it in this case, with the future. So I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name. Like the name, the Kishem Gedolim Asher Ba'aretz, like the name of the greatest ones who are in the earth. And I take this plural as a kind of a circumlocution for the superlative here, the great ones, meaning the greatest ones who are in the earth. So he'll make him as famous as anybody in the whole world. And now verse 10. Washamti makom la'ami la'Yisrael, And I, and again here, I think we will clearly translate the future. And by the way, I think all published English translations opt for the future here. I checked as many of them as I could find this morning just to check this point, and I couldn't find any that opt for the past tense in this case. So the real question is where they make the shift from the past to the present, or to the future. So I will make a place for my people, for Israel, and I will plant him, we would say them, but the collective in Hebrew is often a singular rather than a plural. So I will plant them, we'll translate, washakan takau, and he will reside, again here we've got a perfect, but it's a wild consecutive perfect, he will reside takatau, under him. Now that seems difficult, but this word takat, if you look it up, I think in Caleb Baumgartner, it's uses 1b and c that don't mean under, but in this case means something like in his place or in its place. So I think, and they give several examples of that usage. And so I think that's probably the way we should take this here. He will dwell in his place, namely the place, the makom, which I have set up for him in the previous clause. Walo yagaz od. And here, I think the while here is probably introducing result clause. Not just and, but so that. He will not be disturbed, owed, anymore, or again. Walo yosifu b'nei wala, and the sons of injustice, or iniquity maybe, the sons of injustice, they will not yosif, here this word is used in combination with the infinitive construct that follows. They will not add, literally, L'onotho, to persecute. They will not add to persecute means they will not persecute anymore. They won't do it again. So they will not persecute anymore, persecute him, or them, we would say in English, anymore. Ka'asher barishonoah, just as they formerly did, or like they did in the past. Now this is troublesome because here's a place where the verse division really makes the translation tough, because the first part of verse 11 really goes with the end of verse 10 here. So we're going to have to go right to it. Now, just like they did formerly, le min hayom, from the day asher tzawithi shofathim al ami, from the day in which I set up or commanded judges over my people Israel, and v'chanichothi lecha mekol oivecha, and I gave them rest from all. I gave them rest. I'm sorry. I gave rest to you from all your enemies. Now there is a problem here. About the time frame. Should we understand this to be past or future? Well, again, remember at the beginning of the text, we're told that this happened after God had given David rest. And so I'm going to translate it as the past tense here because of the context, although it's a little rough in terms of sense. I will admit that. Anyway, so what happened after that time? The last bit of the phrase makes that clear. V'hagid l'cha Yahweh, ki bai yaseh l'cha Yahweh. So what happened after that time? Yahweh declared to you that he would make for you a house, would make you into a house. Now, some English translations take house here to mean, more generally, descendants or heirs. Others take this in a more technical sense of a dynasty, a political house. And I'm going to understand it that way. This house, I think, is not simply referred to descendants in the general sense, but God is not here blessing him with progeny. He's blessing him with continued rule. And this also plays into the messianic interpretation of this passage. And by the way, there's the same problem of tense arising in the middle of this. For example, the New King James translates, I have caused you to rest. Whereas the ESV says, I will give you rest. So, that same problem of tense that is somewhat ambiguous previously reemerges here. Now, the liturgical text skips from verse 11 to verse 16, which is unfortunate. There's a lot of not only important material, but important theological material in these verses that's cited in the New Testament. Why the lectionary skips them, I don't know. But we will skip them as well and pick up with verse 16 and wrap up. When the Aman Bethka and established is your house, when Mamlak Tka and your kingdom, Ad Olam, forever. And again here, because it's matched with kingdom here, I would argue that house refers to a dynasty, a ruling house, not simply descendants, as some English translations have it. Ad Olam, forever. Lefanecha. Now, here we have probably our most problematic textual issue. The text as it stands in the Masoretic text says, your house and your kingdom will be established before you.